Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for standing by, and welcome to Astaccio's conference call to discuss the third quarter 2012 results. This event is also being broadcast simultaneously on the internet via webcast, which can be accessed on the company's IR website, www.astaccioparticipasoi.com.br/ir, together with the respective presentation and the earnings release. We would like to inform you that during the company's presentation, all participants will be only able to listen to the call. We will then begin the Q&A session when further instructions will be given. In case you need assistance during the conference, please request the operator's help by pressing star zero. This conference call contains forward-looking statements that are subject to risks and uncertainties that could cause the company's actual results to differ materially from those in the forward-looking statements. Such statements speak only as of the date they are made, and the company is under no obligation to update them in light of new information. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Rogério Melzi, CEO. Please, Mr. Rogério, you may proceed.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the conference call to discuss the results of the third quarter of 2012 for Astaccio. I'm here together with my team and also with Mr. Virgilio Gibbon, our CFO, and now officially Astaccio's Investor Relations Officer, who will assist me in today's presentation. I wish to remind you that we will have the question and answer session at the end of our presentation. Starting on slide number two for our presentation, which is available on our website. Third quarter results show EBITDA growth and margin increase in the same magnitude as in the first half of the year, with margin climbing 300 basis points over the previous year. Under the same shops concept, this gain would have been a little higher, around 320 basis points, in line with our expectation, and once again, bringing sustainable evolution without unpleasant surprises as a result of our management model, which was implemented over the last 4 years. Astaccio's net revenue this quarter came to 349.6 million reais, a 21.3% increase over the same period last year. This revenue growth was due to the expansion of the student base and increase in tuition fees, which are only possible because of the improved perception of the quality of our product and infrastructure, as well as increasingly better services provided to our students. This revenue growth, combined with our management model, the increased penetration of our academic model in the student base, and our growing capacity to plan and control faculty costs, translated into EBITDA growth and margin gain. Though PDA, provision for doubtful accounts, was still higher in the period, although already reflecting an improvement in relation to the first half of the year, other expenses were kept under control through the use of tools such as matrix budgeting, continuous internal benchmarking, and the growing centralization of transactional activities in our services center. As a result, EBITDA grew 43.3% over the previous year, and our EBITDA margin rose by 300 basis points in comparison with third quarter 2011, confirming our expectation to deliver the margin gain guidance for 2012. Our net income in the period totaled 39.8 million reais, a significant 28% increase over the same period in the previous year, mainly driven by the 43.3% growth in EBITDA, which offset the expected increase in financial expenses on account of debt servicing. As a result, earnings per share increased from 38 to 48 cents, which is a 28% increase over the third quarter of 2011, once again reflecting our capacity to deliver excellent results to our shareholders. The highlight this quarter, however, goes to operating cash flow, which reached 67.6 million reais, a 62 million reais evolution when compared to the same quarter last year. Our average days of receivable keep improving as our management model responds to our call and our action plans become reality, while other cash flow variables are also showing gains. Actually, this result was not even better because we faced operational problems with the repurchase of FIES certificates, which should have occurred on the last day of the quarter and could have added another 10 million reais to our final cash. It is worth noting that this amount was normally received in the first week of October and so will benefit our cash for the fourth quarter. Parallel to the positive financial results, we at Astaccio are continuing with our project to build the biggest and the best post-secondary institution in our country. This quarter, we implemented solid initiatives aimed at the satisfaction of our stakeholders, which included the holding of the 4th Annual Faculty Forum, which brought together 550 teachers from all over Brazil for a 3-day event in Rio de Janeiro. Also, the launch of our new and pioneer social network called Didatica, which will run for our students on the digitized books used in our academic model. And this happened in an unforgettable event for 300 guests held in a real movie theater. And also the launch of Espaço's Excellence Program this semester, which will encourage, reward, and then identify, standardize, and spread the best practices developed by our campuses. We also remain committed to our strategy toward the FIES program, which already had 39,500 students at the end of the third quarter of 2012. Here at Espaço, we aim to use FIES primarily for students who need financial support, thereby improving retention and increasing the number of graduates, which is the ultimate reason for this program created by the Brazilian government. Although it's still based on some empiricism, it is possible to say that the adoption of FIES significantly improves the retention rates, probably in the range of 5 to 8 percentage points, therefore with a potential great positive impact in future earnings. Last but not least, and taking into account the interests of our shareholders and long-term investors, we are completing a long and detailed strategic planning exercise that works with the horizon of 2020. In this exercise, besides identifying the key trends and proposing concrete action plans for our core business, we will also define the best opportunities in the education sector which are still outside of our current portfolio, so we will be able to take conscious and structured action on our own new fronts. With such a plan, which will be announced to the market in the coming months, we hope not only to ensure our current business growth, but also to seek ways to maintain and expand our growth rates on a longer horizon in order to avoid highs and lows while continuing our pursuit of outstanding returns over invested capital. I will now turn to Virgilio, who will go into the details of our results.
Thanks, Melzi. Good afternoon, everyone. On slide 3, we show the enrollment numbers in the second half. For the fifth time in a row, we came to a record high intake cycle. This time, 74,800 new students joined Estácio's undergraduate programs, an increase of 21.6% over the same period last year. 57,100 were new on-campus students and 70,700 were distance learning students. After the third intake process, our distance learning has more than 44,000 new students, showing a 27.8% intake growth when compared to last year. This growth confirms the recognition of Estácio among its public and the greater quality of our product. It's worth mentioning that the student base figures presented do not include the latest graduate intake cycle, which so far has already 5,700 new students enrolled, 15% above last year, and also the fourth intake of the distance learning segment. On slide 4, we show the evolution of our student base, which closed the third quarter at 284,400 students, besides the 4,000 students for our new unit in São Luís. We ended the quarter with 231,000 on-campus students, 11.6% more than the same period the previous year, maintaining the organic growth of the student base. Considering only the on-campus undergraduate segment, the student base totaled 218,600 students, 11% growth over the previous year. Here, I wish to point out that under the same shops concept, excluding the acquisitions of 2012, our growth would have been 8.7%. Our distance learning base grew 31.3% over the same period last year, reaching 53,300 students. Net operating revenue totaled 344.6 million reais in the third quarter, an increase of 21.3% over the third quarter of 2011. Due to the growth of the student base and the significant increase in the average ticket during the period. Average ticket increased by 7.8% and 12.2% on the on-campus and distance learning segments respectively. Once again, reflect our strategy of increasing the tuition fees, which is only possible with an improved perception of the quality of our product and recognition of Estácio's brand. Moving to slide 5, we see the cash cost analysis, which presents a margin gain of 4.8 percentage points over the third quarter of 2011, mainly due to the significant gain of 2.4 percentage points in personal costs, reflecting the increasing efficiency in the control and the control of faculty costs leveraged by the greater penetration of the academic model in the student base. 2. The gain of 1.0 percentage points in the labor tax line, resulting from the end of the labor tax step-up. And the gains of 0.8 percentage points in rentals and of 0.8 percentage points in third-party services, which shows our discipline in real estate contract adjustments with our partners and third parties. Moving now to slide 6, we show in detail the SG&A expenses. In the third quarter, G&A expenses reached 13.4% of net revenue, with a 1.4 percentage point margin gain, mainly due to 1. The 1.1 percentage point gain in the third-party service, as we have been noticing in the recent quarter, thanks to our strict budget control. 2. The 2.1 percentage point gain in the provisions for contingencies, which occurred due to the following factors: reversals obtained from revised calculation under labor lawsuits, and provisions write-offs due to payments made in during the period. Selling expenses represented 9.7% of the net revenues in the third quarter, causing a margin reduction of 2.1 percentage points from the third quarter of 2011, mainly due to the result of a 1.8 percentage point increase in the PDA net revenues ratio, still reflect a worse scenario compared to last year, but already show improvement in the first half, when the loss was 2.5 percentage points. It's worth reminding here that the provision for FIES receivable, as we explained in the first quarter, causes an increase in account over 2011, since it anticipates the provision for these students, while our standard provision criteria wait for 180 days to constitute the provision. The increase in PDA in the third quarter, when compared to 2011, reflects the increase in the delinquency of the first quarter of 2012, and still does not capture the gains from better receivables management and the move from delinquent students to FIES, which took place during the second quarter. Such effect will be perceived during the fourth quarter with the reduction in the amount of tuition overdue more than 180 days. On slide 7, we show our accounts receivable. Our net average days receivables, excluding the PDA balance and FIES receivables, stood at 60 days in the third quarter, 6 days less than in the second quarter of 2012, and 2 days less in the relation to the third quarter of 2011. The reduction in accounts receivable and the improvement in average days receivables reflects the good work in the reduction of delinquency among active students, already capturing the initial benefits of students facing financial distress moving to FIES. Gross average receivable days, showing the last row of the table, consider both FIES and total gross accounts receivable, without excluding the PDA. Gross average receivable days declined once again, this time by 5 days in relation to the second quarter, which is a direct reflection of the improved management of our receivables and the FIES processes. As you can see on slide 8, FIES carry forward credits increased by 8.6 million reais in the quarter, with a conversion of 61.5 million reais in cash from FIES certificates this period, either through tax payment or buyback auctions. In this context, the average FIES days receivables in the second quarter stood at 92 days, a reduction of 77 days from the third quarter of 2011, and just 4 days more than the second quarter of 2012, reflecting the good work regarding the FIES contracts amendments, which are concentrated in the odd quarter. It's worth noting that if the one-off delay in the FIES transfer process did not happen, our FIES days receivables would have been 76 days. Given this scenario, I would like to reinforce that our FIES accounts receivable of around 45 million reais, or about 1.5 or 2 times the net monthly revenue from FIES, is adequate for the sustainable expansion for the FIES base in our operation, which already accounts for 18% of our on-campus undergraduate base. On slide 9, we have the aging of our receivables. We can see that we remain firm in our credit policy to avoid expanding the student base at the cost of credit negotiations that are unfavorable for the company and which put at risk the future solvency of such receivables. Thanks to our strict debt renegotiation policy in the third quarter, only 8% of the total receivables came from renegotiations with students. As shown in the table at the bottom of the slide, represent a reduction of 5 percentage points in relation to the third quarter of 2011. In addition, the percentage of receivables overdue more than 60 days represents 31% of all agreements, or only 2.6% of our accounts receivable, maintaining the excellent numbers reached in the first half of 2012 and underlining our debt renegotiation policy. Our criteria remain strict, clear, and objective, as we provision for 100% of receivables overdue for more than 180 days. As mentioned in our earnings release, the provision for eventual delinquency of FIES student is done as follows. 1. 2.25% for students with guarantor assumes that the future loss of the FIES portfolio will be 15%, which is approximately 3 times higher than the historical loss of the ex-FIES student portfolio. The provision considers 15% of credit risk over 15% of delinquency. Number 2, 7% for students who are part of the FIES Guarantee Fund until March 2012, and 5.63% for students who are part of FIES Guarantee Fund after April 2012. Going to slide number 10 shows our cash flow in the third quarter. The small chart on the right shows the variation. The working capital was a positive 23.5 million reais, including capex not related to acquisitions, which amounted to 23.7 million reais. EBITDA was barely consumed, resulting in a positive operational cash flow of 67.6 million reais, once again reflecting our higher cash generation 2012. In the third quarter, the positive operational cash flow was consumed by the negative financial result, 11.7 million reais, investment in acquisitions, 38.9 million reais, and dividends paid, 16.7 million reais. Nevertheless, the positive operational cash flows and increasing loans were sufficient to more than offset these negative effects, taking our cash position to 183.8 million reais at the end of the period, an increase of 16.1 million. On slide 11, we see that the operational cash flow was 67.6 million reais, compared to an operational flow of 5.7 million reais in the third quarter of 2011, an increase of 62 million reais, and when considered the first 9 months of the year, the improvement comes to 138 million year on year. This improvement in operational cash generation reinstates the level of maturity of our management model, showing how we drive results in a relevant indicator in a short period of time for such a complex organization. This new level of cash flow has been enough to honor the service of our debts, to invest in our expansion, and to make small and mid-sized acquisitions, reinforcing our growth strategy and guaranteeing our best ROIC in the sector. With that said, I turn to Mel for his closing remarks.
Okay, thank you, Virgilio. I wish to make a quick sum up before we move on to the Q&A session. On slide 12, I make some comments on a few important points for the year 2012 and the following cycles. Dwelling a bit on the scenario for the end of 2012, we registered strong expansion in the first half and again in this quarter. We also know that our delinquency levels have been improving, with positive effects on our accounts receivable and the average days receivables, which directly influences our cash generation capacity, which was significantly higher in these 9 months of 2012. Since this, at some point, will also result in lower PGA rates, we can reaffirm our projected margin gain for the year in a range between 300 and 350 basis points, with a good perspective for our fourth quarter. I would like to take this opportunity to reaffirm our commitment to achieving our margin expansion target for 2014. I believe that the recent results posted by Estácio, which is already in the seventh consecutive quarter of EBITDA margin increase, as well as the transparency and the clarity with which we disclose our results, combined with the predictability of our gains and the objectiveness of announcements about our growth strategy, should not leave any doubt about our capacity to attain this new operational level in the upcoming cycles. Add to this upsides, such as increased demand resulting from FIES, acceleration of tactical M&As and also greenfields, and an eventual authorization to increase the coverage of our distance learning operation, and the scenario could become even more promising. I take the opportunity to comment that yesterday We had approved by the National Education Council the opening of Angra dos Reis and Teresópolis campuses in the state of Rio de Janeiro, which will therefore start operating in 2013. However, as we also worry about long-term Estácio, we have been working very hard and enthusiastically on our strategic plan, which aims to expand our horizon beyond 2014 and to define the Estácio of 2020. In this study, not only do we map in a detailed way the evolving trends and future growth avenues for our current operations, but we also look for opportunities within the education scenario that are currently out of our portfolio. By doing this, we expect to achieve the leadership position in post-secondary education like we always dreamed, in a gradual, sustainable, and responsible way, with excellent returns for those who believe in us. Although we have not concluded the entire planning process yet, we are announcing two changes in our structural organization that already reflect some of our moves in the medium and long terms. One, the creation of a distance learning office, which will be run by Mr. Marcos Lemos, a professional who has been with us for several years and was until now the director of our services center. And two, the creation of a non-regulated programs office under the responsibility of a new executive in our team, Mr. Marcos Noel Barbosa, who was previously running a HSM Education, HSM Education. He will be responsible for products such as Academia do Concurso, short-term non-regulated programs, graduate programs, and also a new segment for corporate education. In the coming months, we intend to share with you, with the market, the main conclusions and action plans resulting from this strategic planning, and also to provide more details on our moves. Well, those were our comments. Let us now move on to the question and answer session.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please dial star 1. If at any point your question has been answered, you may remove your question from the queue by pressing star 2. We will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Thiago Macruz at Itaú.
Well, hi. We've seen a very healthy decline in the dropouts of the distance learning operation. Well, my question is, what sort of managerial tools do you guys have internally to make sure that this is a sustainable improving trend and that the distance learning dropout ratio converges to that of the on-campus operation? Thank you.
Well, Thiago, thanks for your question. I think there are two factors that help us to explain this new trend. One is that as these programs become more mature, and we have older students, the students in the third, fourth, and fifth, you know, periods, chances are that this evasion rate will naturally decline because the students are much, you know, less likely to drop out than new students. So I think one is just pure, you know, mathematics. But also, there is on our side kind of a learning curve because we also need to learn how to deal with these students. They are very much online students. You know that in our distance learning model, we do not require students to come every week to the campus. So we need to learn how to get in touch with them, how to keep in touch with them, and how to use all this information, you know, that they actually end up leaving to us as they use digital connection to us to better learn, to better understand how they're behaving and to try to anticipate their moves. I think we are doing this in, you know, in a better way now. And I believe that as we create this new office, this new area to focus 100% of their time in the distance learning operation, they will learn more and more about that. So we will come with more innovation and more technology to help keep these students. I think that there will be a convergence bringing this evasion, this dropout rate towards what we have in the on-campus operation with one very important difference. You know that until now we do not have FIES for distance learning students. That may happen, but I mean, it doesn't depend on us, right? And I also mentioned early in this call that the FIES is proving actually to be very important in terms of improving retention. I mentioned that in our on-campus operation, the first analysis that we are running here shows that this number can increase by something between 5 and 8 percentage points. So if this happens only to the on-campus students, chances are that in the future there still, you know, may be a gap because unless the FIES also is valid, gets valid to distance learning students, they will never be able to close this gap. But, you know, under the same conditions, we think there will be a natural convergence. Again, one, because our student base is getting older, and two, because we are learning more and more on how to deal with these distance learning students.
Thank you, Melzi. Just a follow-up question, if I may. Do you think that Didatica helps anyhow in this sense to make sure that those students that don't have to go to the distance learning center that often, they feel that they're a part of a classroom or something like that? Thank you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, everything you bring in terms of technology, especially using these tools, because, you know, these people, these students now, there's so much usage, you know, to social networks. For example, Didatica, for those of you who are not aware of, is a new social network we just launched for this, not only for distance learning, but for everybody who is using digitized material here at Estácio. So they'll be able to get in touch with each other all across the country. So, yes, I think it does help. But, I mean, if on one hand, it may be more difficult for us to, work with these students because they don't come to campus on a weekly basis. On the other hand, there is a new trend, one of the trends we are studying in our strategic planning, and this is called learning analytics, by which you can use a lot of information that these students give to us when they are, you know, browsing, when they are doing their stuff on the Internet, for example. They give a lot of clues to us on what's going on. And this doesn't happen with on-campus students. We never know how committed they are, you know, to their studies. But this is not true with online students. So I think that may really, really help us to offset this kind of a gap we have when comparing to on-campus students. But yes, Didatica will help. And we also have other tools, other innovation. We didn't put that in our communication yesterday, but one of the things we are bringing as well, we are now formally creating an innovation area within Estácio, and at the first two years, this new area will focus very much on students' perception. We want to better understand how they're seeing all this, you know, evolution in terms of technology, of learning experience. So we are very likely to bring a lot of other innovation like we did with Didatica that will make this experience, not only for online students, but also for on-campus students, even better at Estácio. And I think those things will actually help us a lot to improve our retention rates, okay?
Okay, Melzi, thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Luis Brazola at Deutsche Bank.
Yeah, good afternoon, everyone. My first question is related to the distance learning business. You guys are requesting a couple more units for 2014. I'd like to understand what's going to be the strategy over these units. It's going to be proprietary or in a partnership mode. And my second question is related to the campus operation. You guys gave the range between 5 and 7% for growth. And I'd like to understand if you feel 7 is the bottom now for next year, if you guys could give a sense for us in terms of growth for next year. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Luis. For distance learning, it's not only a couple. We are requesting 61 new learning centers. This is official data. We currently have 54, but only 52 are operational right now. We want to more than double the number of distance learning centers we operate. However, that doesn't depend on us. It's a very long and bureaucratic process that has to go through the Ministry of Education. We've been trying this for more than a year now. I think we've come to a point where possibility that we're going to be successful is now higher than it was a few months ago. Before going through this process to this authorization to increase the number of centers we're going to have, we first need to go through the recognition of our current operations. The Ministry of Education has to come here, and they have to, it's like an accreditation process. They have to make an assessment on what we are already providing. They've come here before to do other things. They know we are operating very well. But, I mean, that's what the legislation says. They have to come here, and they have to officially recognize that we are doing in the way they expected us to do. As soon as they do that, and, again, I think this is very likely to happen still this year. It's already scheduled. We are waiting them. They should have come in October. They will come on in November. And then maybe by December or so, no later than January, we'll be able to know whether we went through this or not. As soon as we get this recognition, as we call here, this accreditation, we're going to be able to go to this new step towards increasing our coverage to these new 61 centers. Our strategy is to use the centers we already where we already operate campuses. So half of the 61 new centers will be located in our current campuses, right, in cities where we are operating with Estácio, especially in São Paulo City. The other half We go through partnerships pretty much with high schools, local high schools, in cities where we do not have operations yet. The model will be different from what other competitors do in the market, in the sense that we are going pretty much to rent space and also to rent some kind of capacity. Say, for example, we're going to rent their libraries, their, you know, front desk office and so forth. So we're going to pay a fee to them, around 20% of revenues for each one of the centers, and we are going to be fully responsible for the operation of the centers and also for the marketing in this new city. We think this is going to bring us much more control on our operations. I think another interesting aspect on this expansion, Luis, is that we have 54, we are going to add 61. We think that with our model that is very much online, as I mentioned before, students do not need to come every week to campus, right? We think that with this number of centers, we are going to be able to pretty much cover almost the entire country. So we don't need, you know, much more centers than this 120 or so in order to cover the entire country. We're going to more than double our capacity with very little additional investment. As for your other question for on-campus growth, this is our official guideline, 5 to 7% between now and 2014. We are going to keep this for now, however, with some kind of upside risk in that scenario. And why is that? For on-campus, we have already started our admission cycle for 2013. We are early, very early in this process. I would say 15 to 20% of the entire process. And we are running really, really above last year again. It's even, you know, kind of a surprise to us how well we are performing again in, with our on-campus admission cycle. Obviously, we still have 80 to 85% of the way to go, so it's very early to make any kind of commitment. But if this proves true at the end of the cycle, and we're going to know that by maybe February or so, chances are that you may need to review this number up, but not yet. So for now, keep 5 to 7, please.
Thanks, Melody.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star, then 1 on your touchtone phone. Our next question comes from Marcelo Santos at JP Morgan.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted just to have an update on Academia do Concurso. How has it been doing? What are your plans for it? If you could just share a little bit more.
That's a great question, Marcelo. Thank you. You know, Academia didn't do very well this year. We very much run our own campus, our presential operation for Academia do Concurso, in a way that we didn't lose a lot of money. That was the goal. In the meantime, however, we were preparing our distance learning platform for the Academia do Concurso, and we are getting ready to go. Probably by first quarter 2013, we will be able to try for the first time to use this online platform. And I think this can, you know, start turning the situation in, by 2013. It's going to be really, really helpful. But to be, you know, honest with you, and you guys know I'm always honest when I talk about Estácio, the thing is that Estácio was not absolutely well prepared to have this new operation until now. It was kind of a small business, very hard to focus on that business when you have something as big as our core regular business here, right? And this is one of the reasons we decided to create this new office here with Mr. Marcos Noll, because now we're going to have a lot of focus. Now we're going to have an executive director 100% of his time looking at this business and, you know, looking for opportunities and, again, bringing innovation and thinking more about strategic ways in order for us to grow this business. We think it's a valuable business. There are cross synergies between this business and our regular business, but at the same time, we needed to put more focus on that. So now, with Mr. Marcos, myself, paying much more attention to Academia, and also what you call the free programs or the short-term free programs, non-regulated programs that will be sold through the Academia do Concurso as well, I think that can be a good surprise for 2013.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Bruno Giordano at Santander. One moment, please. Bruno, please go ahead with your question again.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon. I just wanted to know, how are you dealing with the restriction of students that have some kind of register in bad credit bureaus? How are you dealing with these guys when taking an FIS loan or even when they are due to do the amendments for their existing contracts?
You know, Bruno, that's not a big problem to us. I mean, I don't have the number on top of my mind here, but I would say that maybe we should say that's like 500 students only. So what we do, as long as we have a commitment from them, you know, to keep with FIES, if this blacklist comes from us, we can go there and review that. But eventually, in many cases, actually, they are blacklisted for, you know, by other companies. Say, for example, Casas Bahia or so, when they spend a lot of money. Eventually, there's nothing you can do about that. So in those situations, we need to wait until the end of the semester. If they don't, pay this kind of debt they have, then we have to cancel FIES because they won't be able to renew the FIES loan. And then we have to reinvoice them, right, directly to them. Obviously, when this happens, there is a risk that they will not be able to pay. So we then watch these guys very carefully to see whether they're paying us or not. If they're not, then they go into the regular process by which they will, you know, have a lot of trouble to renew it at the end of the semester. So I would say little risk for us because the number of students is too low, right? And also because, they will owe us no more than a semester of tuition. So not a big deal for us. When we see that they are committed to FIES, we try to solve their situation. When it depends on us. When it doesn't, I mean, not much we can do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bruno.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. Since there seems to be no further questions, I would like to turn the floor over to Mr. Rogério Malzy for his final remarks.
Well, thank you very much. I just want to thank you, everybody, again, for participating in our conference call. Also to mention that, as we said last time, we are living a great time here at Estácio. Everything seems to be in place. I mean, everybody's aligned towards the same goals, our results, our fundamentals, and now even our long-term, you know, goals are getting more clear with our strategic planning as we get ready to go. I will really share with you all these plans and long-term view as we speak, you know, in the coming months. So again, thank you very much and hope to see all of you very soon.
This concludes Estácio's conference call. You may now disconnect and have a good day.